Don Luskin is one of the top financial gurus in the United States, folks. So listen intently to what he says. If you're wondering how your stocks are doing, how your investments are doing, should you be in and out of the stock market, what's going to happen to interest rates, all of these issues. Don is the president of Trend Macro. And Don Luskin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here, Steve. Thank you.
So let's get right into it. There's so much to talk about. Inflation. I think a lot of our listeners, I hear so much from them, and they were kind of confused because you would expect with this blizzard of government spending, this blizzard of government debt, this blizzard of government money printing that we're seeing out of Washington, that you would expect to see prices rising. But you really haven't seen much of that. And I wonder what your forecast is or explanation is for why we haven't seen the high rates of inflation that some economists have predicted.
I think the simplest reason is that all this spending was intended to help pull the American economy out of what can only be called a depression a year ago when everything was shut down here and everywhere else in the world in response to the COVID pandemic. And when you have terribly depressed conditions, then it doesn't create inflation just because the government becomes the spender of last resort. It's a form of restoring a kind of normality. You would have had the opposite. You would have had very steep deflation if the government hadn't done that. So now we're in the ugly adolescence where we are certainly not in depression anymore. We're probably not really even in a recession anymore. And this government spending is, you know, going to keep hitting for a while. And because of some of the things that happened to the global economy over the last year, inventories are low. There are things that are in scarcity, especially microchips. So people, even just with their own savings, even if it's not government money, are going to be going out into the marketplace to buy stuff, and they might find the shelves are empty. And that is kind of the formula for at least a little bit of temporary inflation. A lot of money chasing not very many goods. But that is the formula for temporary inflation, because economies are very good at finding equilibrium. And when the producers of goods and services see that there's more than enough demand for them, they will, what do you know, produce more goods and services.
So you're not seeing a 1970s style, you know, double digit inflation.
I just don't think there's any reason to expect that.
Okay. Well, some people are predicting it. So I was wondering, so you think that will be, I mean, like, what would you predict inflation rate to be a year from now?
Well, the inflation rate that would be maybe published by the statistical bureaus looking back on the prior 12 months, so you're looking at maybe sort of a, you know, year over year change a year from now. 3%.
Three, which is nothing. I mean, that's a very, you know, that's basically what's the Fed target? Two?
Yeah, two, the Fed target to three. Two, and they, I would give you a slightly technical answer here. When the Fed says two in CPI terms, which is the inflation statistic that, you know, the public looks at, the Fed really means 2.5. So three is not a million miles from that, is it?
And three is pretty close. I mean, I think we could live with 3% inflation. When you get to 4, 5, 6, 7, that's when I get nervous. Now, what about the 10-year Treasury bill? What do you think a year from now that will be at?
It's going to be higher. And that's probably, you know, good news in every way. When inflation's a little bit higher, bond yields need to be a little bit higher to compensate for it. That's true. It's also true that when the economy is growing again and we are no longer in depression, we're coming out of recession, we're going to be in a boom, then that's when people need capital to invest and to take advantage of the growth. And interest rates, even on government bonds, are the rental cost for capital. And when capital is needed and more valuable, you have to pay more to rent it. It's just like you have to pay more to rent a Cadillac than a Volkswagen.
Now, Larry Lindsey, formerly of the Federal Reserve Board, has put out an estimate where he said, I believe that he thought that the 10-year Treasury could go to as high as 4% over the next year. Do you think is that where you are?
No, I'm not. I think that marks the very, very upper range. I think 1 year marks the very inward range of how quickly it could happen. So I think he's kind of anchoring the bull case for yields there. But directionally, I'm with him, and I'm not scared of it. I welcome it. It's a tragedy when yields are so low, because it means that people are putting all their money in treasury bills because they don't want to take any risk. They want to buy the most riskless thing they can find.
Speaking of taking risks, you know, one of the things that seems to me is going to substantially reduce risk taking is an idea that Joe Biden floated this week, which has gotten a lot of attention by our buddy Larry Kudlow and others, of raising the capital gains tax to 40% or more. Now, that's a tax on risk capital. Wouldn't that reduce the availability of risk capital?
Sure. So let's go through the ABCs of this just to make sure that every single one of your listeners knows exactly what we're talking about here. When you buy a security, you're taking a lot of risk because you don't know whether that company's going to make it or fail.
Right.
And a couple years later, you go to sell it and you're going to pay taxes when you sell it. And the more taxes you pay, the lower your rate of return is.
Right.
And you will know that. You'll expect that when you make your investment. So when there's a high capital gains tax rate, people will invest less. They will only invest in less risky propositions.
Right.
And when people invest less, you get less innovation, less growth, less, you know, less entrepreneurship, because investment is literally the life's blood of growth. If you disincentivize people from investing, you are just simply turning a kind of thermostat that turns growth down. You just are.
So if I were president of the United States, I would want to name Don Luskin as the head of the Federal Reserve Board, because I think you make so much sense. You've got so much financial knowledge. And what would you say would be, I'll ask a couple quick questions and then appreciate your taking time on your Saturday afternoon off. What would you, and I said, Don Luskin, what should the capital gains tax rate be? What would you say?
Well, first of all, Steve, if you were elected president, I would demand a recount.
Ouch. Don't worry, folks, it's never going to happen. I have too many skeletons in my closet.
Yeah, I understand. I have a few of those myself. The answer to your question is very simple. It is zero. So you might say, well, if you have a tax rate of zero, how can it be that, how would the government ever fund itself? Well, the answer is that the government makes, doesn't derive all that much of its budget from capital gains taxes to begin with. It makes most tax revenues from income tax, from Social Security taxes, for all the other taxes. And if you were to get economic growth, job creation, innovation, entrepreneurship, all the things that make people wealthier, if you could get that hitting on all cylinders, you would collect a bumper crop of revenues from all those other tax sources. So the capital gains tax turns out to be this leverage point where if you can set it to zero, you will set all the others at their revenue producing maximums without even raising the actual tax rates on any of the others.
I love that answer. I could not agree more, although I take 10%, but zero is better than 10%. But you're right. This would pay money. I believe, Don, I wonder if you agree, I believe that if we were foolish enough, and I don't think it's going to happen, my prediction is that Biden might be able to get that capital gains tax up to 28%. By the way, even the Congressional Budget Office, which is hardly, a supply-side institution, says that the revenue maximizing rate of tax on capital gains is 28%. So when Biden says 41%, he's way, way over the amount of money that would maximize the revenue. And so you would see, you're saying you'd see a lot more investment in the country, which leads to more jobs, more wages, more growth, and more revenues. Is that the chain of reaction?
Yeah, I'm just going to say yes to that. And that's for sure.
You said one final thing, and then we got to go for a break. If you were the Fed chairman, what would you be doing? What do you like most about what Powell is doing, and what would you change about what Powell is doing?
Well, Powell has been the leader, or at least the figurehead of a fundamental intellectual revolution at the Fed that's evolved over the last couple of years. And it was in the process of happening even before the pandemic hit. That really had nothing to do with it. And that is, for the last 50 years, the Fed and all the central banks of the world have been run on econometric models that believe something very dangerous, which isn't true. And that is, they believe that when the economy is running at maximum employment, so when the unemployment rate is very low, say 3%, they believe that that causes destructive inflation. And so over history, the Fed and other central banks have deliberately engineered recessions, slowing economies, for the sake of controlling inflation, which is a good thing. But the way they've carried that out is in cold blood. They have said, we are going to increase the level of unemployment. We are going to throw people out of work for the sake of controlling inflation. Okay, so you can say, well, that's a tough trade-off. However, there is no data in history that supports that relationship. There is no relationship between unemployment and inflation. And what very slight statistical relationship there is actually goes the other direction.
Yes, well, right.
Isn't that amazing? So in 2018 and 2019, we had an unemployment rate in the 3%, which is the lowest in three generations. And we had that on a sustained basis for almost 2 years. And we had absolutely no inflation.
No inflation.
So,
yeah.
So people are looking at
that. So you're telling, we're running out of time, but you're saying that the Fed has thrown that model out the door.
And thank God. So that's like 10 future recessions that we don't have to have.
I love it. Well, Don Luskin, you are one of the smartest financial minds. I appreciate your taking time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.